So happy to have you with us here on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here, turning our attention now to fishing in Wisconsin. And our guest, Gary Engberg, professional fishing guide and avid conservationist and sportsman, advocates for getting kids involved in the outdoors. Got a great website and also a radio show, Gary Engberg Outdoors. You can GaryEngbergOutdoors.com, the place to go for that. But if you have some questions about the fishing season or about fishing, I hope you will join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org. talk@WPR.org. Gary, welcome back.
Thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
Lots of boats on the water this last weekend, weren't there?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, we've been behind for, oh, probably 10 days to 2 weeks as far as our, you know, our water temperatures and fishing has been going. It's actually been a very, very tough spring. And it's good to see some warm weather come, but it looks like we're going to get it all at once now.
Yeah, it was 90 degrees in southern Wisconsin yesterday.
So unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Well, what kind for early season success, what kind of fish for those who aren't, experts and get out there, what do you recommend?
Well, right now is probably, you know, we've been behind anywhere from 10 days to 2 weeks and with our water temperatures and with our fish progress. But now it looks like things are starting to warm up. We got water temperature in the 50s, and that's kind of the magic temperature for fish to start getting active. Panfish are budding right now. You can catch crappies in shallow water. Smallmouth are starting to bite. Largemouth are biting. Pike have been biting for the last month.
Yeah.
And you still can find walleyes, most of your species, and people, you know, in southern Wisconsin were split. You can musky fish in the southern part of the state right now. So overall, fishing is picking up right now, and I think we're going to catch up, it looks like, in the next few days.
You know, somebody asked me about stocking, and that's probably a good question. I'm not sure how familiar you are with it. I'm pretty sure you are. How Wisconsin lakes are stocked and where the main fisheries that supply them. Can you talk a little about that?
Well, I think Wisconsin does an excellent job as far as, you know, our Department of Natural Resources does a great job in, you know, keeping our lakes full of fish. And, I mean, as an example, the Madison chain of lakes, I mean, we don't have natural reproduction, and we always seem to talk about this, and people don't believe it. But if we didn't have stocking, you wouldn't have walleyes, and you wouldn't have muskies in our local lakes. And, you know, we have decent size limits, you know, larger size limits, so we do have good, you know, we do have fish that are getting to be unbelievable size. Lake Monona, right now, muskies are over 50 inches, and that's become relative, not common, but they're, you know, people are catching them regularly. You know, you have a minimum size limit on Lake Mendota of 18 inches for walleyes, for smallmouth, and I think all these things help. You know, between, you know, higher size limits, slot, like up where I live, Lake Wisconsin area, we have a slot size, as an example, for walleyes. You can catch walleyes between 15 and 20 inches, but nothing over 20 inches. The DNR has great, I mean, we have a very good Nevin Fish Hatchery in the Madison, in the Fitchburg area. Down in Lake Mills is a very good hatchery. There's another good hatchery up in Woodruff. And then down, a lot of your cold water species, your trout and your salmon are down there in the southeast part of the state. And they do that part of, you know, the Lake Michigan stocking and our cold water species. But overall, we take very, very good care of our lakes, and I think the DNR does a wonderful job. And not just, you know, muskies and walleyes, which are probably some of your most popular game fish. They don't have to stock too many largemouth, too many smallmouth. Those fish seem to be doing very good on their own. We have good panfish. The Madison Lakes, you got to remember, with the exception of Lake Mendota, which is a walleye northern lake being very deep, having a lot of structure, the other lakes are basically bass, bluegill-type lakes, which are a little bit shallower, more weeds, more mud and silt bottoms. And, you know, the other fish that have been introduced are basically, you know, it's a put-and-take situation.
Yeah. Gary Engberg, our guest today, as we talk about fishing here in the state, you can join in with your questions at 1-800-642-1234. maybe you need a tip or two on fishing, or maybe just a general question about fishing here in the state. So call us at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org. talk@wpr.org. See a lot of people fishing from the shore line and in the Madison area. Because I live in this area, I see a lot of people fishing from the shore. What about, you know, good place to do it? Pros and cons?
Well, that was the next thing I was going to say. And matter of fact, the Yahara Fishing Club in Madison is celebrating, I think, their 25th anniversary, and they put out a little shore fishing booklet for fishing the Madison area from shore. And this time of the year particularly is a great time for shore fishermen, because most of your fish are going to be 10, 12 feet of water or less, so you're going to have access to these fish. And, you know, you have a potpourri right now where you're going to have many, many different species of fish that are going to be overlapped in the same area. So you don't know if you're an example. A friend of mine has been fishing Lake Monona quite regularly recently. You know, he's catching bass, he's catching northerns, he's catching bluegills, he's catching walleyes out of the same spot. So, if you want to contact me, or, I mean, if you go to the DNR website, too, there's a lot of opportunities for fishing from shore. And, I mean, not everyone can afford a boat these days. Yeah. Not everyone can afford to go up to northern Wisconsin with gas prices. And there is excellent fishing for an urban, you know, metro area. And if you would even forget about that, there's good fishing here in all species, no matter where we are. And people have access to all these fish. You can catch muskies from shore right now. You know, you can catch smallmouth bass. You don't have to have a boat to get out. I would say between now and, you probably got anywhere from 3 weeks to a month of good shore fishing left.
Trevor in Jefferson up next. Trevor, hi. Thank you very much for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'll be in a fishing tournament actually this weekend up in the Rice Lake area, and I was just wondering if our guest had any information as far as the spawn up in northern Wisconsin in comparison to down here in southeast Wisconsin, and I'll go off air for the comments.
Okay, they were behind just like we were as far as, you know, water temperature goes, and before, you know, we had our opener last weekend, there were, you know, people were concerned about some of the lakes even being open. An example, Trout Lake in Vilas County, they still had ice on it right up until, you know, I think Thursday or Friday. And that always is the case, because I wrote a story this week in my column, and I was writing about, you know, every spring when we'd be going up north, and I started with my grandfather when, you know, many decades ago, it was always, are the lakes going to be open for the spring? And they are. The water temperature, I talked to, matter of fact, a couple people in Minocqua this morning, water temperature is in the mid-40s right now in that northern third of the state, and I've heard that fishing was fantastic. A friend of mine said, do you know anyone who has a lure company? We can catch anything right now. We had such a great weekend. They were catching bass, they were catching walleyes, they were catching northern pike, and about anything you wanted, and you know, they were looking for a sponsor. But I would recommend right now, your fish are basically going to be shallow. Probably, if you're fishing a bass tournament, it's probably going to be artificial lures. I would imagine there's going to be no live bait, even though live bait I would highly recommend if you're just out to do some fishing and catch some fish. Maybe keep a few for the frying pan. Live bait is the ticket right now. But, you know, you're good crankbaits right now. The main thing you have to be concerned about is finding some structure on the lakes you're going to be fishing. I would imagine if it's bass, muskies you're fishing for, they have not spawned yet, so they're going to be in a pre-spawn mode. And then again, you know, look for that structure and stay shallow. And work your baits very, very slowly.
Yeah, and that's an issue for a lot of people.
It's hard. You know, you want to crank that baby in there, but, you know, work your baits very, very slow. You know, don't always do the same, you know, if you're jigging, don't always use the same cadence. If you're casting crankbaits, don't always use the same speed. You know, once in a while, do a little twitch, you know, pull your lure a little bit. Sometimes just stop it. A lot of lures now, you know, are suspended. They'll suspend in the water column if you stop reeling. So, you know, try some of these things.
Gary Engberg, our guest today, professional fisherman and guide, avid conservationist and sportsman, and he'll be with us right up until 12:30 today as we talk fishing in Wisconsin with him here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at fish and fishing here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry Mueller here with my guest, fishing guide extraordinaire Gary Engberg. He's also an avid conservation fellow, a sportsman, advocates for getting kids involved in the outdoors, has a column that he writes. He's on radio with another outdoor radio show, so it's great to have him along. And certainly if you have a question for him, good time to ask the expert is right now at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. We have a question from Chris in Green Bay, Gary, so let's go to Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hi, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
First of all, I want to say fish on.
Yeah. I like that.
All right, Gary, I got one for you. We're taking a muskie fishing trip up to Vilas County this summer. It's going to be our second weekend in June. And I know the weather's kind of kicked things back a little bit. I'm just wondering what the best approach would be, like smaller bucktails or twitch baits, or what are your thoughts?
Hmm. I would have a little bit of everything, to tell the truth, because... Okay. You know, muskies are going to be spawning later, and they probably won't, you know, that's probably right around the time that they'll be laying eggs. Anytime, you know, I would recommend, like, downsizing, like you said, using a smaller bucktail, using a small crankbait, a jerkbait, some of your twitch baits. Just have a good selection and make sure you have plenty of different colors. I'm not sure. Do you know what lakes you're going fishing on?
Yeah, it's a Wildcat Lake.
Wildcat Lake, I know exactly where it is.
Yeah,
it's just north of Boulder Junction.
Right.
That's a good lake, and there's some good structure on that lake. You have some good islands. I would fish your islands. I would fish anywhere you have any wood, natural structure. I don't recommend using any live bait for muskies because it's too easy. Even using a quick set rig, you're still going to have some mortality, and I don't recommend that. But just have, and another thing that works really well this time of year is they're using large plastic baits called Bulldogs, and they're very, very good, and they make them in different sizes, different colors, but it's a huge plastic type, you know, like a twister tail, but it's, and you know, they're probably, I think you can get them 8, 10, 12 inches. Many different great colors. Musky Innovations is a company that makes them. You can find them at most stores. But that's another thing you can use instead of, and you could even use these with, if you would have a spinning rod and reel, you know, with a, you know, maybe a medium heavy instead of always using a bait caster. But just have a good selection. You know, bucktails work any time of the year. You know, your twitch baits, your jerk baits. Just, you know, the forage was my major concern up there. You know, you're probably going to have sucker color will be a good color, crappie will be a good color, perch will be a good color, and go from there. But, you know, just keep, you know, if something, you know, doesn't work, if you don't have any success maybe in, a, you know, 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour, I would keep changing something till you find something that would, that
absolutely.
Would work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Those Bulldogs, by the way, are great. I've had really good success with the bullheads and different sizes. Actually, a small version.
The small version, too, yeah.
For this time of year.
They make a one that I think weighs a pound, too. And if you know, you throw some
that
of these.
That is hard to throw.
You throw some of these big baits, and that's like throwing, you know, your double bladed, your big spinner baits now. I mean, you throw those all day, you better be using a long rod. And I would recommend people to, you know, start going to 8.5, 9, 9.5 foot rods. That'll make it a lot easier to cast all day.
Yep, there you go. Good luck, Chris.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Yeah, have a great time. Appreciate your call. Actually, he's to have some good musky fishing right in the Green Bay.
The biggies are in Green Bay. They're talking about 60 inches they may have up there.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
I think the minimum now in the Green Bay area is 50.
50, yeah. Bob in La Crescent, Minnesota, you're up next. Hi, Bob.
Yeah, hi. Thanks. Enjoy your program. And I've got a question for Gary, and it's always... been my ambition to seek out the better walleye-producing lakes. I don't want to necessarily know an individual lake, but I want to know what's the best way to seek out what is a good walleye-producing lake. Like, as an example, when you go up north, like I've been fishing the Chippewa Flowage, nobody up there will say that the walleye production is down because they don't want to curb their clientele. I can understand that. But how would an individual evaluate that?
Well, Chippewa flowage is, I mean, the main thing there is wood.
Wood, yeah.
Wood. You know, I'd use that's a real good place for using a slip bobber and using live bait and minnows. The main thing on, you're in La Crescent. Do you ever fish Mille Lacs or any of the big lakes in Minnesota?
I haven't because I moved over here 3 years and I'm still trying to get acquainted, and it's a longer distance for me from La Crescent, Minnesota to go up where you said than it is to northern Wisconsin, as an example.
Uh-huh. Well, Green Bay is another good area, and these areas are, as an example, Green Bay, you know, you can put in not far from Lambeau Field and go out in University Bay, you know, less than a half a mile out of the boat landing and find real good walleye fishing. One thing that I love that works very well, and I don't know how much people down here use it, is to use either a three-way or use a bottom bouncer and use a spinner with a crawler harness.
Right, now, I use that. That's
one of the best ways to catch fish, to catch walleyes year-round. Works very, very well. Make sure you get quick-change clevises so you can constantly be changing your color and your size of your blade. Instead of having to retie the whole rig from a separate one, have you ever used the quick-change clevises?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. Because sometimes in the year I'll use like a number four, maybe a three or a four, you know, a bigger blade that's going to give you a little more noise, a little more thump. And then later on in the year, sometimes I'll go to using, you know, smaller blades, like maybe a two. And I'll even put on two quick change clevises and maybe put on two number two blades. Sometimes I'll even reverse it and reverse the number two blade so I have an opposite effect.
Oh.
And sometimes, you know, your bead patterns, I like to tie my own rigs. I mean, a standard size crawler harness rig would probably be about 4 feet, 3 to 4 feet. Sometimes if your bottom is relatively clean, sand, where you don't have a lot of snags, I'll go to even a 6 foot or longer. And then on your bead patterns, you know, always have in a couple of different color beads, have in a couple blues and a couple yellows and a couple chartreuses. And these are the kind of things that fish are gonna kind of hone in on and see. And a lot of people think that beads are just spacers. They are that, but they also do have a little bit of traction. And then just keep trying, you know, blades. And the nice thing about pulling a crawler harness, whether you're working off a trolling motor, you know, a little kicker motor, or whether you're working off your bow mount or transom trolling motor, is that you can cover a lot of area. And that's the thing. Anchoring up, you know, you're gonna be pulling anchors all day. I would try and cover as much water as you can. This time of the year, again, stay 10, 12 feet, you know, or less.
Right. Okay. The only thing with Green Bay waters I'm concerned about is the quality of the water and the quality of the fish. I don't think you could eat them around Green Bay, can you?
I fished in a tournament there last year, and I ate them, and I'm still alive. So I don't think there's a fish. Now, you can check in the rules and regulations, and they'll tell you the waters where you do have, you know, advisories, and maybe it's only one day a week. But I've had no problem as far as how the fish taste and how they look.
Okay.
My question, as far as evaluating the northern waters, which I like the clarity of the waters and the stained waters more than I like the rivers and like Green Bay as an example.
Mm-hmm.
How do you evaluate what is a quality walleye like?
I like the main thing. I'm most good. Natural, that lakes are going to have a natural reproduction. They're going to be probably a spring-fed lake. It's going to have some good depth. It's going to have mid-lake structure where you're looking at, I'm talking about rock bars, a lot of depth changes, you know, good wall areas. Usually always have, you know, steep drop-offs. A lot of times you're looking for hard bottoms, those transition areas where you may be going from sand to rock or sand to a mud. Those are all good areas. But the main thing you want is to have some type of structure. You don't want just a bowl-shaped lake where, you know, there's maybe some weeds around the edges. You want something that's going to have some mid-lake structure. And those are the things, you know, those fish now that are in 10, 12 feet, pretty soon they're going to be moving out there to 20 to 40 feet of water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So try and look for some of that mid-lake structure, and don't be afraid, you know, to try some of those areas.
Okay, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling, Bob. Al in Lake Geneva, on to you now. Hi, Al.
Hey, good morning, or afternoon, I guess.
You got good structure on there.
Yeah.
Lake Geneva's got plenty.
I know. I got a question about trolling and our trolling laws. I'm under the impression that a lot of our lakes, waters you cannot, in the lakes, you can't troll. in states around us, it doesn't seem to be we have as there's many prohibitions on trolling. Is there something special about our
class
water
A
productivity?
Class A musky lakes.
Yeah.
Is it because of musky vulnerability primarily?
Well, initially in northern Wisconsin in Vilas County, this is probably 20 years ago, you used to be able to troll, and I think there were too many fish caught. And I think people know Steve Herbeck, who has Annie Myers Lodge up in Vermilion Bay on Eagle Lake. Steve was one of the first ones who started catching lots of muskies, you know, 20, 25 years ago by trolling. And I think they kind of made that law kind of maybe because of Steve. But trolling is a very effective way. I mean, the Madison Lakes now, I would say the big fish being caught and most of the muskies being caught are getting caught trolling.
Okay. Yeah.
But it has to be, if it's a Class A musky lake, you can't troll. You can run a trolling motor, you just can't drag a lure behind. I mean, you can troll, you can be having your trolling motor on and sort of casting to the side or in the front of the boat, but you can't...
In the rules and regulations, you go by counties, and they'll tell you every water where you are allowed to troll or where you can.
So even though other states might also have high-quality, musky lakes, do they have similar types of situations that they want to try to control the trolling, or something?
Well, I've found most lakes like Michigan, Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, some of the other lakes that I fish, most of them you can troll in. But the thing you got to remember, Wisconsin has some different laws, but we also in Wisconsin are allowed to use three rods, while in some states you can only use one rod.
Yeah.
So
okay.
There's advantages, and I don't know how the initial laws were initially made, but there are some advantages to being in Wisconsin. I would rather have three lines in the water than one.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks a lot for calling. You can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. With your fishing question for Gary Engberg, or email us at talk@wpr.org. Jeff from Austin was hoping you'd repeat what spawned already and what's still to come in central Wisconsin and further north.
Okay, your walleyes, your saugers, your northern pike have all spawned. The next fish that'll be coming up, should be coming soon, or are in the process, would be crappies. I would say in central Wisconsin, they probably have not spawned or are in the process. You'll find them in back quiet bays, shallow water. Look for back bays. Find the warmest water you can find, and then you're going to find some crappies. Mud bottoms, they warm up quicker, are very good. They like to be out of the wind, out of the main action. They want to be back in a nice, quiet little area. They like wooden piers versus metal piers. Wooden piers absorb sunlight, warm up quicker. They also will bring in zooplankton, protozoa, all your little microscopic animals that are going to bring in minnows and smaller fish that are going to bring in the crappies. So, you know, the things you have there, you have warm water and you have food, and that's about all a fish could want where they're going to spawn.
Mm-hmm. Jim in Norton, will you move to you next? Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hey, Larry, how you doing?
Good, thanks for calling.
Yeah, say, I go to the tackle store and I'm overwhelmed with different lure colors. I mean, there's thousands of them.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have some sort of recommendation for dark water and a clear water. Try to keep it simple. You know, do I... Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes the clear water on dark days and clear water on sunny days, you're using different colors too.
Yeah, well, I don't want to have to carry around a ton of different lures. So what are some basic colors and where would you use them?
I would always, recommend probably try and pick five or six maybe good colors. And one thing that's going to affect the color of the lures you're using is what the forage base would be in that lake. I mean, are they eating the bluegills? Are they eating the perch? Are they eating suckers? Are they eating red horse? Those things all make a difference. But if you stick with something in a perch pattern or a green and a chartreuse, you're going to never go wrong there. Something dark, either black or a dark purple or a dark blue, that's always going to be a good color. Bright, something bright and flashy. I don't know what type, if you're pulling spinners or if you're just using lures, but, you know, something that's going to shine on a nice bright day is going to pick up maybe some of your sunlight. You know, fish are not seeing in colors. They're seeing profiles, more or less. And so they'll see different, you know, lighter and darker shades, but they're not saying, oh, there's a nice pink one I'm going to get. But, try and just find out what the main forage base is and go from there. And then, you know, don't, you know, talk to it. If you go into most stores and you talk to people that fish at the stores, you know, as an example, you know, when, where I live, Wilderness Fish and Game, all the people there go to Gander Mountain. Most of the people are all fishermen, and they'll steer you in the right direction. You don't want, you know, I mean, there's a million different colors out there because fishermen buy them, and that's why I probably have 3,000 or 4,000 baits hanging in my garage, and I get sucked in too. But if I had to pick some colors, I would take a perch pattern, I would take something chartreuse, I would have a couple of dark patterns, and maybe blue, silver, black, white, black, silver.
So the black silver would be focused towards your
gizzard shad.
Shad base.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Forage. Okay.
Yeah, your gizzard shad, and that's what you're going to find as a forage base in many, many of our lakes. Beside, you know, the young of the year panfish being crappies and bluegills.
So you'd be looking at the blues and the silver.
The blues and green, you know, get in greens and yellows, greens and chartreuses.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then blue is a good color too.
Yep.
Yeah, hey, thanks a lot.
And then the other one I was going to say is a lot of times I like to have an orange belly on some lures for some reason. I've had good luck with that.
No, there you go.
All right, hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. Gary, you're a professional guide, and what can let's talk about this a little bit. What can guides do? And I really think guides make a real difference in the experience of a fishing trip. I've used guides and especially in you know, in waters I didn't know, and I've had great experiences.
Well, that's the main reason when you want to, you know, you're hiring a guide because he should know the waters you are fishing better than you know. He should know the waters very well. He should know the techniques. He should know the species that you're going to be fishing for. And I mean, a guide is basically an educator and a teacher, and these are the things that he knows, and you try and pass on, you know, your information to whoever your clients are. And you want people to do, you know, you want your people to, you know, I don't usually fish, and, you know, if I have people, I'll ask them, you know, I'll get them all set up, we'll get our lines, I'll make sure the, you know, the proficiency level of the people that I'm fishing with that day and see how if they're going to need a lot of help, if they're not going to need any help, and go from there. A lot of days I won't even pick up a rod myself, and I'll just be helping the people I'm fishing with. But you want to, you know, you're going out there just to go to a spot and get your 25 panfish and go in. I try and tell people something, you know, or try and educate them on different tactics. You know, why am I doing this? You know, why are we trying to use this lure for this type of fish? Why are we, you know, fishing where we are? Why are we in deeper water? Why are we in shallower water? I mean, all these things are things that, you know, it's nice to have a client too that asks you a lot of questions. And then, you know, some guides you'll find are, you know, never shut up, and I'm in that boat, but you know they'll keep talking. I would rather have someone, you know, versus another guide who doesn't say too much and, you know, gets your lines in the water and then hope you know you're going to catch some fish. But I would, if you're going on a body of water you haven't fished before, I always would recommend hiring a guide. I would talk to local people in the area. You know, I would look for some references. You know, if you're planning this in you know, down the road, you know, if you're going to go later in the summer, talk to people and see who would recommend. There's a lot of guides, but there's not that many really good guides.
Mike in Eau Claire has a question or comment. Hi, Mike.
Hi, guys. I know we're short on time, so I have a quick question. I'm wondering about largemouth bass fishing. Where are the good places and near Green Bay or between Green Bay and Wausau?
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you one area around Wausau that has a lot of big largemouth are a lot of your cranberry bogs. And if you can get access to a lot of these, I mean, your bass are basically, they are going to be weed-orientated fish. They're going to be around wood. They're going to be around whatever type of weeds they happen to have growing. I don't know if it's going to be sandgrass, milfoil, coontail, you know, whatever the weeds are. Bass are usually going to be very, very weed orientated, and that's going to be, they're going to be in the weeds up to your first weed line, sometimes even your second weed line. Rare times do I catch them suspended, maybe in deeper water. But I would stick with, you know, throwing some, you know, tandem spinners, throwing some crankbaits, jerk baits. Plastics work very, very well. Berkeley makes a great product out now. They're power baits. They make a product called Gulp. All these things work very, very well. They'll save you some money on minnows, and the fish love them.
How about nearer to Green Bay, or north, like Crivets to Green Bay? And
Crivets, well, the Shawano area has some good fishing lakes in there, too. And Crivets is a real good crappie area, but that's a little bit out of my area. But if you just talk to people, they'll help you out. And remember, you know, your bass are going to be relatively looking for, you know, the weeds and structure like that. They like to just kind of hang around, and if something comes by, grab it.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help.
Thank you, sir.
Mike in Mazamani, hello to you.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good.
Say, I drift, you know, kayaking, hydrobiking down from, say, Blackhawk by Mazel there. I'm sure Gary knows what I'm talking about. And, you know, drifting, what would you try if you're just drifting? I know
drifting
the
lower Wisconsin River.
I would. Drift fishing is you don't want to constantly be snagged up. And most of your fish are still going to be relatively close, within a foot or two usually of the bottom, until later on in the summer. And not that many fish suspend in rivers. They're not going to be up and down the water column. They're either going to be close to some structure or in relatively shallow water and close to the bottom. I would use a bottom bouncer. I would use a three-way. Three-ways are, you know, been around forever, and they're still, you know, you can always feel the bottom, and that's the most important thing. You're not going to have your lure or your jig or whatever you're pulling, you know, 30 yards behind the boat and not have a clue where it is. You're going to have, you know, ideally right underneath the boat or on a 45-degree angle, and always maintain contact. But try bottom bouncers. You know, floating jig heads work real well, and I'm a real big fan now of plastics instead of live bait. You know, the lower Wisconsin River now, because of VHS, we can't seine or trap minnows, which I always like to do, so you have to use artificials, so try some of those power baits.
And thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. And Gary, thank you so much.
Boy, thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure.
The time flew by. Go to GaryEngbergOutdoors.com if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Gary and all the different things he's involved in and the guiding and so forth. And Gary and Engberg is spelled E-N-G-B-E-R-G.
And one other thing, too, the Yahara Fishing Club, Larry, has their Kids Fishing Day coming up. I think it's the third or the fourth, the Saturday, the first Saturday there in June. It's over at Warner Park. The first 300 children get rods and reels, a lot of great prizes. The Yahara Fishermen's Club is a great group. If you've never been there, they meet on the first Tuesday every month. Join the club.
Thanks again, Gary Engberg. We'll have him back and we'll do this again. Thank you for listening, and please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Naif Al-Mutawa believes that superheroes can change the world. That's why he created the 99, superheroes inspired by the 99 attributes of Allah. Naif is out to fight radical Islam and Western misconceptions about his religion. I'm Jean Faraca. Join us today at 3 here on Earth.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from Qualline Fence in Wanakee, a family-owned company serving residential and commercial customers in southern Wisconsin. Information at quallinefence.com. Qualline